name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Some years ago, a bank in Britain came up with the advertising slogan, "The bank that likes to say yes." In the present financial climate, the slogan has probably been quietly forgotten. But at the time, saying yes was obviously good for their image. Christians, on the other hand, tend to be thought of as people who say no. We heard the Ten Commandments read this morning. 9 of them are saying no. And only 1, honour your father and your mother, is a positive instruction. It is also possible to go through the Bible and find lots of verses telling us not to do this and that, what not to eat, what not to wear, and of course, with whom and when not to have sex. A common but distorted view of what Christianity is all about. And a common but distorted way to use the Bible. There is a series of books written for dummies, car repairs for dummies, home decorating for dummies, brain surgery for dummies. Well, no, I made that one up. But there is even a Christianity for dummies. And here it is. It's written from a conservative Protestant standpoint. But interestingly, the section on Christian living does not simply say, go and read your Bible. Because the Bible is not one of these how to do manuals with instructions on how to keep God happy and handy hints on how to get into heaven. Simply to go through the Bible chapter by chapter and say, verse such and such means I must do this or I mustn't be like that. No, the Bible is about God. God's diary, it calls it in here. And it is very self-centered to think that the Bible is about me, my behavior, my attitudes. In this respect, it's significant that our lectionary brought together the Ten Commandments and Jesus' cleansing of the temple from John's Gospel, our 2 Old Testament and Gospel readings this morning. The temple was the place par excellence for imagining all you had to do was to keep to the rules, use the right kind of coins, present the right kind of animals for sacrifice. Today, we can see the same attitude in the secular world. There are codes of conduct and rules of good practice. What matters is not, have you done the right thing for this or that person, but have you followed the correct procedure? Have you ticked all the right boxes on the official forms? Today, as we sung in one of those gathering songs, that lovely song, Disturbing Song, from the Iona community in Scotland, Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets as he was raging in the temple when he threw out the money changers and the people selling the doves and so on. Jesus Christ raging today would probably have burst into some government office somewhere, torn up their rule books and their questionnaires, their compliance returns and standards and codes. These are not what matters, he would say. You can answer all the questions correctly, read all the codes of conduct, follow all the procedures laid down in them. But what were you really thinking? What was your attitude? Did you want to help someone or put something right? Is that what you really wanted? Was your motivation to do your job better, or just to keep out of trouble with the boss and to protect yourself in case something goes wrong? By the time he had finished, the office would have looked a mess. Drawers pulled out, files and bits of paper all over the place. Destroy this temple, he said. A temple to fear and self-protection, to avoidance of responsibility, a lack of engagement with others. What Jesus puts in its place is a temple built on the two commandments to love God and to love our neighbor. We show our love by wanting to do the best and the right thing, by saying yes to them, which is why Psalm 19 describes the law of the Lord as perfect, rejoicing the heart, giving light to the eyes. His commandments, it says, are more to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey. If we keep God's commandments in that way and not simply view them as a set of rules, what a difference it makes. And rebuilding the temple in this way, God is not demanding that we do something he would not do himself. In this new temple, we meet God, whose relationship with us is based on love, not on rules. The cross is not in any rule book or in any code of conduct. By those standards, it makes no sense. It is, says St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18, it is foolishness. That's what the cross is. It is the foolishness of God who says yes. We say to him, look at us. We get it wrong, mess things up. Even when there are commandments and guidelines, we forget them, misunderstand them, misuse them. But do you love us even so? And the answer is yes. Look at the cross. What more do you need? That insight, that encounter with God, the God who loves us passionately without limit, that's what the Bible is for, not as a good behavior manual. We need the Bible because we could not work all that out for ourselves. We need its help to realize that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And so to him, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed, as is most justly due, all honour, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.